which is that when someone small and righteous takes on someone big and nasty, he is grilled bread product very quickly. However, someone at the back shouted, "Give the stupid-looking kid a chance. At least he'll be cheaper." And someone else shouted, "Yeah, that's right." And someone else shouted, "I agree with the other two." And no one seemed to notice that all the voices came from near ground level and were associated with the progress around the crowd of a scruffy-looking cat with half its fur missing. Instead, there was a general murmuring, no real words, nothing that would get anyone into trouble if the piper turned nasty, but a muttering, indicating, in a general sense, without wishing to cause umbrage, and seeing everyone's point of view, and taking one thing with another, and all things being equal, that people would like to see the boy given a chance, if it's all right with you, no offence meant. The piper shrugged. "Fine," he said. "It'll be something to talk about, and when I win, what will I get?" The mayor coughed.
"Is a daughter's hand in marriage usual in these circumstances?" he said. "She has very good teeth and would make a good, wife for anyone with plenty of free wall space."
"Father," said Melissa.
Later on, obviously, he is unpleasant, but he is rich."
"No, I'll just take my payment," said the piper. "One way or another."
"And I said we can't afford it," said the mayor.
"And I said, one way or the other," said the piper. "And you, kid?"
"Your rat pipe," said Keith.
"No, it's magic, kid."
"Then why are you scared to bet it?"
The piper narrowed his eyes. "Scared? No. Okay, kid, the rat pipe," he said.
"And the town must let me solve its rat problem," said Keith.
"And how much will you charge?"
said the mayor.
30 gold pieces. 30 gold pieces. Go on, say it," shouted the voice at the back of the crowd.
"No, it won't cost you a thing," said Keith.
"Idiot,"
shouted the voice in the crowd. People looked around, puzzled.
"Nothing at all?"
said the mayor.
"No, nothing."
The hand-in-marriage thing is still an offer if you...
"Father?" "No, that only happens in stories," said Keith. "And I shall also bring back a lot of the food that the rat stole."
"They ate it," said the mayor. "What are you going to do, stick your fingers down their throats?"
"I said that I'll solve your rat problem," said Keith. "Agreed, Mr. Mayor?"
"Well, if you're not charging..."
"But first I shall need to borrow a pipe," Keith went on.
"You haven't got one,"
said the mayor.
"It got broken."
Corporal Knopf nudged the mayor.
"I've got a trombone when I was in the army," he said. "It won't take a mo to nip and get it."
The rat piper burst out laughing.
"Doesn't that count?"
said the mayor, as Corporal Knopf hurried off.
"What? A trombone for charming rats? No, no, let him try. Can't blame a kid for trying. Good with a trombone, are you?"
"I don't know,"
said Keith.
"What do you mean, you don't know?"
"I mean, I never played one. I'd be a lot happier with a flute, trumpet, piccolo, trombone or lanka bagpipe, but I've seen people playing the trombone and it doesn't look too difficult. It's only an overgrown trumpet, really."
"Huh," said the piper. "This I'd like to see, but not here."
The watchman came running back, rubbing a battered trombone with his sleeve and therefore making it just a bit more grimy. Keith took it, wiped the mouthpiece, put it to his mouth, pressed the keys a few times and then blew one long note.
"Seems to work,"
he said.
"I expect I can learn as I go along."
He gave the rat piper a brief smile.
"Do you want to go first?"
"You won't charm one rat with that mess, kid," said the piper. "But I'm glad I'm here to see you try."
Keith gave him a smile again, took a breath and played. There was a tune there. The instrument squeaked and wheezed because Corporal Knopf had occasionally used the thing as a hammer. But there was a tune quite fast, almost jaunting. You could tap your feet to it. Someone tapped their feet to it. Sardines emerged from a crack in a nearby wall, going, "One, two, three, four," under his breath. The crowds watched him dance ferociously across the cobbles until he disappeared into a drain. Then they broke into applause. The piper looked at Keith.
"Did that one have a hat on?" he said.
"I didn't notice,"
said Keith.
"Your go."
The piper pulled a short length of pipe from inside his jacket. He took another length from his pocket and slotted it into place on the first piece. It went click in a military kind of way. Still watching Keith and still grinning, the piper took a mouthpiece from his top pocket and screwed it into the rest of the pipe with another very final click. Then he put it to his mouth and played. From her lookout on the roof, Big Savings shouted down a drainpipe,
"Now!"
Then she pushed two lumps of cotton wool in her ears. At the bottom of the pipe, in Brian shouted into a